and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday. Oh, some breaking good news for America, bad news for the Republican Party coming up in just a bit. In the meantime, it's Friday.
Happy day. Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop, yeah.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fugleson.
Yeah, baby.
Good morning, children, Steph
baby.
East.
Good morning to John Fugleson in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated. Good morning, John.
Glad to be here in the frigid Great North.
Is it still cold there?
It's still cold.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Come to Mama.
I'm sold. Buy me a ticket. I'll be there.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. John Fugleson, I'm hearing things in the interwebs, buzz on the intertubes that you're fighting with somebody.
No, I'm fighting
Andrew
with nobody.
Breitbart.
No, yeah. Well, Andrew Breitbart likes to pick these fights with me. Actually, he doesn't pick them. He sends his trolls out to do it.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, I had one joke, very innocent joke, just saying, do you remember when the bald eagle was a symbol of American greatness and not of right-wing white males projecting their displaced anger over tiny penises? It seems innocent enough.
Sure,
but, you know,
it's funny.
They seem a little oversensitive about that.
You make a joke about right-wing guys with small penises, and the Breitbart guys get offended for some reason.
Well, that's because they have tiny penises.
Well,
oops.
There you go.
I haven't passed out as many Breitbart conventions as you, Steph, so I couldn't tell you. So it's like I get the full onslaught of them saying of them coming after me, and it's just wow, they're
I'm really telling you, it's my show. Anyone that comes, we were talking yesterday, the number of people that who's ever on my show somehow gets dragged into something with the right wing blogosphere.
It's incredible because they're like this new breed of Republican. They're angrier and they're dumber and they're meaner and they're I call them the illiterati,
and they're vulgar.
They're vulgar and they don't seem to ever want to get laid for the rest of their lives.
Now I'm going to, after yesterday's news, Chris, I'm going to get called a homewrecker. Somebody, who knew when MySpace even still existed?
I know, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A million Florida, Steph. I found the clip of Bruce Boxleitner on your disastrous late-night TV show in 1995. John, the joke here is, sadly, it is sad, Bruce Boxleitner and Melissa Gilbert's marriage just broke up after 16 years. And in 1995, I believe it was the National Enquirer reported that I was breaking up their marriage. So it took me a while.
Yes. Wow, congrats, Steph.
Yes, that was a big man-hungry homewrecker.
According to the National Enquirer.
Yes, it was this whole made-up story about how Melissa Gilbert and I got in a screaming match backstage because I kissed her husband when he came on the show, and then whatever.
She was a homewrecker. She was a man-eater, and she was a bad actress.
All true of my past career.
Wow, congratulations,
Steph. Why did the National Enquirer get that wrong?
It's nice
they
have
were
that
dead
finally
on that. Pardon me?
And nice to have that finally pay off. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Thanks. It took some time, but you know what, kids? Stick to it. I kid. That is very
that's
sad.
That's the worst thing that happened
they
to Bruce
like
Boxleitner
a lovely couple.
Since Bring Him Back Alive.
All right.
That was his old TV show, I think. He had the first Indiana Jones ripoff show in the 80s.
He was also in Tron.
Scarecrow and Mrs. King was the big one, right?
Yes, it was. Yes.
All right. Fine.
Until
you
came along.
And that was the only time you've ever appeared in a tabloid. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were right on the money there. All right. Hey, kids, here's the good news for America, bad news for the Republican Party. The unemployment rate, John Fugleson, has dropped. Yet again, U.S. employers add 192,000 jobs in February, largest monthly gain since mid-2010. A sign employment picture set to brighten. That's the biggest jump since, mid-2010. Monthly payrolls gain was above market expectations. Here's an interesting fun fact with the right wing.
What?
More private sector jobs.
Oh,
I wonder
really?
How they're going to spin this.
I'll have to watch Hannity to see why this is bad news.
Yes, you will. Last time it was, it's a temporary government census job, friends. Yes, it's down to 8.9% from 9% in January, sinking to a nearly two-year low. Marcus Handy, who was John McCain's economist, said these numbers are very good and they're an indication we are close to off and running. But here's going to be the interesting debate. He's the one, John, that just said the Republicans' plans will lose 700,000 jobs.
Absolutely.
These budget cuts are going to... are they doing this on purpose? You are going the wrong way.
But they're not. If your only goal is power, you're... If your only goal is power, you're not going the wrong way.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you don't, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but you're like, oh, you don't want people to get jobs and the economy to get better because that's good for Obama. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the problem with Rush Limbaugh saying, I hope the president fails. Guess what? That means we all fail. That means your wife and your husband and your father and your kid loses their job, you know?
And if you're Rush, all three of your ex-wives.
Exactly. Hey. And then you've got to pay more. Wait a minute. Yeah, so I don't, I mean, everybody, I mean, pretty much from Goldman Sachs to John McCain's economist are saying this is the wrong policy direction that they are, what do you call it, you know, pursuing. I mean, it just is during a fragile recovery like this, because obviously this is great news, but 8.9 is not good.
No.
That's not where we want to be.
No. And it's probably much higher than that in the real world anyway.
Yeah.
So,
anyway,
while it's good news, there's still a long way to go, so everyone should pile on the president and keep criticizing him and go back to Bush policies that caused this in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
Right
my
on.
Point. Thank you very
I
much.
I see your logic.
Thank you very much. That was to the point.
I see your logic, and I'd like to read your blog with lots of eagles on it.
You know, here's the thing, though, John, with what's going on in, you know, Wisconsin and now Ohio, and you look at poll after poll, and this is the frustrating thing about elections have consequences, because you look at they are governing exactly the way Americans do not want on every single issue. Look at this headline today. Americans overwhelmingly support millionaire surtax to tackle the deficit, rejects cuts to social programs. Yep. That's exactly the opposite of their prescription.
And that's from the socialist Wall Street Journal that printed that poll.
Yeah, right. Wall Street Journal NBC News poll suggests Republicans significantly overestimated the public's eagerness to tackle the federal deficit by cutting programs like Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, as reflected in the growing Main Street movement. Ooh, I like it. That's what, I mean, seriously, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin and Ohio. This poll released yesterday found sizable majorities of Americans prefer steps like eliminating oil company subsidies, enacting a surtax on the income of millionaires, and rolling back the Bush tax cuts. Only 23% think it's acceptable, for example, to make cuts to Medicare, while 81% favor instituting a millionaire's surtax. Additionally, only 22% of respondents favored cuts to Social Security, 77% finding it unacceptable. Majorities also opposed reducing funding for K-12 education, unemployment insurance, and Planned Parenthood. House Republicans, as you know, have already pushed through an effort to defund Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Which is completely bogus, by the way, because they had 6 years when they controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House. They could have totally defunded Planned Parenthood. They know it won't go through now, so they do this as theater for their supporters.
Yeah, yeah. Reacting to the results, one Republican pollster told NBC that Republicans may have gravely miscalculated in their headlong rush to slash spending as demanded by the Tea Party. It may be hard to understand why a person might jump off a cliff, he said, unless you understand that they're being chased by a tiger. That tiger is the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm. But don't you understand, Stephanie? I know you hate freedom, but don't you understand?
Well, that goes without saying.
That cutting these jobs and cutting Medicare and cutting Social Security and cutting services means we won't have to have a tiny tax increase on those who could easily afford it, and that's all that matters. Do you understand
yes.
that?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? For some reason, nobody puts Tea Party logic into words more eloquently than John Kittleson.
I know.
It's like he's one of them.
I got to say, the problem here is Democrats who have been so cowed by every time you talk about logic and what caused this, you'll hear a Republican go, oh, blaming Bush again. You know, all
like,
you
well,
Jews blaming
well,
Hitler,
yes.
blaming Hitler. I mean, the Democrats have to blame Bush. When next time someone says, why are you blaming Bush? You say, why aren't you blaming Bush more?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, it just and it's not even blaming a person, John. It is policies that quantitatively
exactly right.
got us where we are. Now we are going in the right direction. The best thing is that visually is that graph that, you know, we've seen on TV and elsewhere that there is no other way to prove it. Losing 700,000 jobs a month when Bush was here. Boom, boom, boom. Up since Obama's been in office, you know.
Well, it's been 30 years of trickle down and it's still the same thing. They're still pushing trickle down. And the problem is the gush up.
Yeah, yeah. Guess what? Oh, ecclesiastical MOOC. Listen
yes.
up. We have the Reverend Jim Wallace on today.
I'm very excited.
Also to talk about what we have said over and over again, that the budget is a moral document, and it is not only wrong, morally for what it's going to do to people and to jobs, but it's wrong on every level for a country a party that claims to be the party of moral values. So we will talk to, he has a full page ad out, What Would Jesus Cut?
Well, it's a great article, by the way. And fundamentalist Christians believe that Jesus wants you to help the poor by voting against any policies that would help the poor.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also, Don Lemon, CNN anchor. Did you know today is the 20-year anniversary of the Rodney King
riots?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
As Rush Limbaugh calls it, the 20-year anniversary of Rodney King's head ruining four perfectly good batons.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I think that... And I think the answer to the question is still no.
Computer says no.
No, we cannot get along.
No.
It's only gotten worse.
The ones who want to get along can.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Janelle in Ithaca with a question on Mama's tabloid celebrity. Hello, Janelle.
Hi, Stephanie. I was just calling in to comment about how you could have possibly broken up that marriage in the 80s because, as we all know, homosexuality is a choice, and this was well before you decided to live your lesbian lifestyle.
Mm. Oh, no, it was right in the thick of it. They just missed that part of the story.
Yes.
All right, thank
Steph
you.
Steph was punishing her family in different ways back then.
It wasn't the 80s. It was 1995, for God's sakes.
The mid-90s.
Yes.
When vests were still popular.
Oh, and I wore one every night.
That's right. Boy, if that wasn't a clue there.
Yeah, the 80s didn't end until around 94.
I dragged that 80s fashion with me into the 90s. Oh, all right.
I kept my flat top until 96.
17 minutes after the hour. Right back as we continue Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Certified pre-owned vehicles, certified affordable luxury.
Yes, we love Mercedes-Benz here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
We love all our sponsors.
We love
so
Mercedes-Benz.
Much. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Brian in Asheville, North Carolina. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning. Good. Calling from Asheville this morning.
Yeah.
The Rasmussen poll this morning shows that the American people are firmly against everything that the GOP and Scott Walker are doing.
Yeah, and that's a right wing poll. Rasmussen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think they keep diving headlong into a cliff is because they know they're going to get smashed in 2010. I'm going to give you two reasons why. The first reason is because they can't find anybody to run against Obama. Okay.
Right. Yep.
The second reason, right, is you have the Koch brothers and Karl Rove talking about how much money they're going to spend for the election. That sounds like intimidation to me.
Yep. It's
I'm
telling you, they awakened this, what they're calling it already, the Main Street movement, and it's not going to be pretty, I don't think.
Exactly. Yeah, Put down Snooki's book and get out there.
That's right. I got one more question. Why is it John Boehner is asking the president to lead when he spent 2 years saying Obama was leading us off a cliff?
Yeah, 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 exactly. Thank you, Brian. I got to say, John, I think he's right.
He's very right.
This is what Rush Limbaugh is going to say. I try to figure this out in advance, Chris, when there's certainly good data or polling numbers, what he's going to say.
Yeah.
He just says he doesn't believe it. That's what happens. The last polls like this, he's like, well, they weight the questions. Of course, it's the mainstream media. This is what they want. Well, of course, this is what they're going to say.
You know what he's going to say?
Yes.
It's because the Republicans are in charge of the House.
Oh, you mean that the unemployment numbers are dropping?
Exactly.
Oh, of course.
Yes, that's what he's going to say.
Because they've enacted exactly zero policies.
Exactly.
Yes, I see.
Uh-huh. But that's what he's going to say.
Uh-huh.
You're right.
I see. Uh-huh. No, I'm talking about how when polling numbers show stuff like this, then he just says the questions were asked wrong or whatever.
Yeah,
Rasmussen, I don't know how you spin that because that's your right-wing poll, and it says the same thing. But, you know, John, this is why we were saying they're trying to incite violence in other, places like Wisconsin so that they can try to turn the public opinion around.
Exactly.
And,
right.
You know, and no dice so far.
And it's the same argument that Boehner's been making, that government can't solve this problem and Obama's not doing enough. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same exact thing, but more and more Americans are waking up. When the Wall Street Journal can have a poll showing the overwhelming majority of Americans believe that public sector unions are a good thing, and that they realize that collective bargaining for a public sector union doesn't really affect a deficit, but tax cuts for the uber-rich do, you know, people are waking up and coming out of the matrix. It's beautiful. It's the age of Aquarius. It's 2012. Let's grow our hair and wear tie-dye.
It's at least the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Yes. And speaking of violence, a Wisconsin state representative, Nick Milroy, who's a Democrat, was tackled to the ground by police as he tried to enter the Wisconsin Capitol building last night to get some clothes. Now, Capitol Police are saying it's because the Capitol was locked to try and keep protesters out. But there's video of it, and it shows that he is being wrestled to the ground very violently.
Wow.
Mm. So, huh. so that's Governor Walker's thug tactics.
Violence not caused by union thugs, huh? That's interesting.
Governor Walker's thug tactics.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
is worth keeping in mind that one of the policemen's unions has withdrawn their endorsement of Governor Walker because of this.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, yesterday we were getting a lot of calls from Ohio because, you know, there's been so much focus, obviously, in Wisconsin. And what happened in Ohio could likely be worse.
Yeah.
And particularly the way it happened. Well, much of the nation's attention remains focused on the Wisconsin. An Ohio measure in some ways is tougher and broader, is speeding toward reality. A Senate panel, then the full chamber, approved the Ohio measure Wednesday amid jeers from onlookers. The bill would restrict the collective bargaining rights of roughly 350,000 teachers, firefighters, police officers, and other public employees, while Wisconsin's would affect about 175,000 workers and exempt police and firefighters. John, we were saying the only people they're negotiating with or bargaining with are their other Republican governors. You know,
exactly.
Kasich's on the phone with Walker, but when they're not on the phone with one of the Koch brothers. I mean, it really, and yet they don't have time to sit down with the people that run these states, mm-hmm. the workers that actually, you know.
Exactly right. And again, and we talked about this last week, but in that whole fake conversation with the fake David Koch, not once did Scott Walker reference a budget crisis.
Yeah.
Because that's not why they're doing it.
Yeah.
They're doing it to destroy unions so they can in turn destroy the Democrats and then have a one-party system. And what could possibly go wrong then?
Yeah. This is a major step forward in correcting the imbalance between taxpayers and the government unions that work for them.
Oh, the rich have had it tough for a long time with those public sector unions. Can we talk about this?
Well, this is what they do every time. John is like trying to divide. It's like workers versus taxpayers. It's like those workers are taxpayers. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, analyst said from the perspective of unions, both bills are punitive and severely restrict what they have traditionally bargained over and what they have done as organizations. That's what it is. It is purely punitive. I mean, Ohio's legislation would also set up a new process to get this, to settle worker disputes, giving elected officials the final say in contracting disagreements. Even a couple of Republican senators spoke out against it, saying the process would turn workers into beggars before city councils and other officials who oversee them. I mean, it really is. It's like setting up
overlords.
But
that'll be Acorn's fault. That'll be because of Acorn, in all fairness. Yeah. They'll find someone to blame for that. What I think Governor Walker doesn't recognize in the midst of his hubris and narcissism is that he's really being the guinea pig, the canary in the coal mine for the rest of the Republican governors in the country. Everyone's watching to see if he can get away with this. And if he does, it'll spread across the country.
And let me just say, the recall is already in effect for 8 Republican senators in Wisconsin. The union's focus now in Ohio turns to the House. Members there have shorter terms and may be more vulnerable to repercussions of the ballot box. They said, we hope the members of the House will understand the valuable role working families play in their districts. The House is a 2-year body. Whatever happens, people are going to remember that. This isn't just about union issues. This is about working people. So, you know, and I think people get that. I mean, I think this whole thing has just offended people's, you know, sense of basic fairness.
Well, you know, life is hard. Being a grown-up is hard. It's exhausting, and people don't want to turn out to vote for midterm elections.
Life is a bitch, and it starts in the 3rd grade. I stole that from a play that I don't remember now. Ruthless,
that's
the name of the play.
But this sort of thing is what it's going to take to get normal working slobs like you and me off the couch and away from Snooki and to go out and vote in midterms. And so this is going to – people who stayed home in 2010 will not be staying home because of stuff like this.
Yeah.
Gary in Wisconsin. Hi, Gare.
Hey, Steph. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have a chance to talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, you'll love this. And keep in mind, and I'm sorry, but I actually voted for my Republican senator who's Scott Fitzgerald.
Uh-huh.
And now that I voted for him, I realize all the things that I should have known before I did.
Yeah, a lot of buyer's remorse in Wisconsin in record time, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I'm an independent voter on this deal. So here I am trying to reach out and talk to this guy through his office. They don't return calls half the time and all these other things. And they've just basically been deleting a lot of my emails without even reading them.
Nice.
So I sent them an email. And Steph, I said, hey, Senator Schultz did a great thing down there in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. He had a public listening forum.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, the Reverend Jim Wallace is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Remember, kids, she's not a whore if she's an actress.
Oh, Oh, dear. Grandma didn't bring her reading glasses. It's not Reverend Jim Wallace this hour. Reverend Jim Wallace is next hour.
That's right.
Oh.
This is very exciting. Guess who's now?
Don Lemon of CNN.
One of my favorite CNN anchors joins us now. Don Lemon, good morning, sir.
Stephanie, one of your favorites. I mean, come on.
The only man for me.
Stephanie, I'm so excited about being on your show. I'm really excited about it. You know who talks about you? We were at dinner and loves you is Christine Roman.
Oh, she's awesome. We love her, too.
She's great.
She's the smart one.
Yeah.
No offense to Allie Dulce, who we also love.
Allie, not so smart. Christine, good-looking and smart.
Yes.
Now,
Allie's
come on.
Got better vests.
We love our bald-headed prophet of doom. Come on now. Don, we were just talking earlier about it's the 20-year anniversary, of course, of the Rodney King riots, you know, the beating and then the obviously the acquittal and the riots. So you have an exclusive called Race and Rage, the Beating of Rodney King. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, first of all, and I say this every interview, can you really believe it's been 20 years?
I know.
Come on.
And I was saying, we clearly still can't all get along. It's gotten worse.
You know what? You're a mess. So, yeah, you know, when they said, hey, Don, would you be interested in doing a documentary on Rodney King? And I was like, why? What happened? What did you do now? And they said, it's been 20 years. I'm like, yeah, right.
Right.
But it had been 20 years. And so the executive producer reached out to Rodney King and his fiance, who just, by the way, I don't know if you guys knew this, his fiance was a juror on one of his cases, the one that awarded him the $3.8 million. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, strange twist. 20 years later, they're going to get married.
Don, it's interesting. I mean, I think you've sort of alluded to it that, I mean, since he's gotten in trouble since then, unfortunately, you know, it proved some people's point, like, oh, see, well, he deserved it. But you forget how really bad this was. I mean, you know.
Well, yes, you forget how bad it was. And as, you know, as a doctor said, and they will tell you now, Rodney was beaten so badly, they're shocked that he even survived. And someone who was, you know, smaller than him or a lesser person in stature would probably have died. The bones in his face, they say, were pulverized so that it was like grains of sand. 55 baton blows. I think it was like 20 kicks and then the taser gun and on and on and on. Did he do the right thing? No, he should have stopped, right?
Yeah.
If the police, first of all, you shouldn't be speeding.
Yeah.
And so there's that. And then, just as an aside, he was just stopped on Wednesday, on the eve of the 20th anniversary. He was stopped in California and cited for driving without a license, and that was it.
Oh, boy.
Nothing.
I don't know if I were him. I'd reflexively, if I saw that red light, start sweating profusely. Yeah.
When you say, you know, why does he still get in trouble? I mean, you know, he came from a troubled path. He said, you know, I have addiction will always be an issue for me when I asked him about addiction. He said, my dad was an alcoholic. He started doing and using when he was very young. But, you know, you don't have to come from a troubled past to have trouble. When you look at the celebrities, look at Charlie Sheen, look at Lindsay Lohan, look at all those, they continue to get in trouble as well. So he's a human being. He probably should clean up his life in a bit. He probably should have taken advantage of the situation and used it for good. But, you know, it's easy to say that when you're not him.
Well, Don, how is he doing now and what is he doing?
He's doing okay. He has a modest home. He lives in Rialto. He's got, you know, backyard pool. He bought a home for his mom with the settlement money. Mm-hmm. I asked him during the documentary what happened to all that money. Did you hang on to it or did you throw it away? And you'll have to watch to hear what he says.
Okay. Oh, you teased Don Lemon.
And, you know, I asked him does he forgive the cops? Does he hold any animosity? Has he let go of the demons? So he's a mild mannered guy, but he just can't seem to stop getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. As we say, victims, you see the same story over and over. It's sort of a syndrome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I actually read, you know, your description here, you know, that he was tasered, kicked, beaten. He received, as you say, 55 baton blows, a crushed bone, shattered teeth, injured his kidney, fractured his skull. Mm-hmm. I love that you say you asked him what his thoughts were during the beating, and he just said, "Stay alive."
Yeah. What were you thinking?
He's like,
I have to stay alive. Have you guys ever picked up a police baton? Have you felt one?
No.
Okay. Try it sometimes.
They're thick.
Oh, my gosh. It's not like a flagpole. It's not even like a baseball bat. It's not even like a hammer. It's, I mean, it is something that I can't really explain. It's a big, heavy piece of metal that's meant to crack skulls. And he got, can you imagine?
Wow.
I can't imagine being hit one time. I'd be,
Okay. You know, Don, you also, you know, make the other point. This is sort of the beginning of, like, citizen journalism, the fact that someone videotaped this. Because, as you say, you know, yes, of course, he was wrong to do what he did, but you're going, there is no way that that was justified. You can see it. I mean, you don't have to say, oh, gee, I wonder if it was an overreaction. I mean, it was horrifying.
Well, that was back during the days when you had to have, like, a roller bag to carry your cell phone, and then and even, you know, you needed a trolley to carry a camera if you had it. And so, you know, this guy who lived in the apartment across the street, George Halliday, he had just bought a big giant VHS camera and didn't know how to work it and heard all this ruckus and went out and saw it and just he's like, oh, I hope I'm hitting the right buttons, and went out and shot this videotape. That was the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now everybody has it on their phones or whatever. But a lot of people didn't have it then.
Yeah, I remember we were thinking it was no less a great thinker than Bobcat Goldthwait at the time that said, put the camera down and help me.
well, I don't know if there's anything that he could have done.
Right.
Especially
right.
He was on a balcony across the street and was probably a few, you know, I would say at least 100 feet away or something. But he was, pretty far away, yeah.
Well, yeah, he did enough.
Then the riots, Don. I mean, it really is, you know, obviously all of us were out here for that. And it just was, what an incredible time. You also speak with Bobby Green, who saved Reginald Denny during those riots.
Oh, my God. Bobby Green saw it on television and said, oh, my gosh, no one deserves to be beaten like this. No one deserves to be treated like this, no matter what the circumstances. And he said, why isn't anyone helping this person? So he got in his car and went down to the scene of where this happened and helped Reginald Denny out. He said Reginald Denny was, you know, half conscious and was still trying to drive his truck away.
Yeah.
And he said he got in the truck. He's like, no. And then he just took him to the hospital and saved Reginald Denny's life.
Don, do you...
And by the way, he won't go because he hates to go back to L.A. because it's too many... He said it's just too many negative memories. And he just by coincidence lives in Rialto, the same place that Rodney King lives.
Wow. Well, you know, because I'm a happy, clappy liberal and a hope monger, I'm hoping that your answer is going to be yes. But, you know, I have to wonder, 20 years later, we have a black president. Are things better, do you think?
I mean, I want to say that. And this, you know... Everyone, and don't think I'm getting on your case, all right, Stephanie?
All right.
Everyone, as a person of color, everyone says that. Well, now that he's a black president, it's like, okay. You know, now that we have this, it's like, have you ever had, you know, if you have a woman boss, if you have a woman secretary of state, it doesn't mean that sexism is over.
Yeah, that's
right. It doesn't mean that women make, you know, a dollar for a dollar like a man does. Women make 70%, 70 cents to the dollar with that study.
Right.
It's the same thing about race. And I think we have come a long way when it comes to race in this country. Absolutely. I mean, we do. That is legitimate. We do have a black president. But it is not an excuse to say that all racism has ended.
Well, you know, in fact...
He's only half black, so it's only half better.
I mean,
you know,
Don...
You're a fool.
He is a fool.
And I mean that in the kindest way.
Don, I think, you know, that's an interesting point you make, because while you think, oh, you know, look at this landslide, this president was elected and we have made progress, but then you look at this virulent racist backlash we've seen in the Tea Party and elsewhere. I mean, you know, when you see signs at a rally with, you know what I'm talking about, signs, you know, watermelons on the White House lawn and these incredibly racist cartoons and, yeah.
Yeah, listen, I think that what I'm trying to say here is that we should not let having a black president or whatever stop us from being curious and being aware and wanting to learn and know about people and from facing the reality. If someone says, here's my reality, and then you go, I don't believe it. Usually you don't believe it because it's not in your subconscious. You've never experienced it before. People don't understand racism or whatever if they've never experienced it before, right?
You know, Don.
So we shouldn't stop that. Can I just make real quickly? I was stopped coming back from Florida for speeding. And I was speeding. I said I was speeding fine. It took me a while to pull over. And I just happened to be with friends who were white. And they said, I've never been treated like that by a police officer. They had never spoken to me. Until they realized when they got my driver's license and one of the other officers said, hey, are you the guy on CNN? Then they started to treat me nicely.
Right.
But, you know, to say all of that, when your original question, I think things are better when it comes to the Los Angeles Police Department. And I think they are better. They're not perfect.
Yeah.
Around the country when it comes to police departments and the relationship between minorities and the police and police. Because no one wants another Rodney King moment.
Right. I mean, funny you should say that, because as a liberal, you knew I was going to say it in a moment. You know, my best friend is black. And
you know, we shrugged that off. It's the same thing as saying, oh, the president is, you know, we have a black president. It's the same thing. Sometimes that's really legitimate, because if you really have to honestly look around you and say, how many people do I associate with on a personal level, go to dinner, hang out with, who don't look like me?
Right. That's true. But my point was going to be, Don, exactly, it was interesting, the story you just told, but it's just, I think all of us that have a black best friend, I mean, he has been pulled over for driving while black in Beverly Hills, and you don't understand what that's like unless it happens to you. Pulled over for no other reason. He was driving a nice car, and he was in Beverly Hills. You know, and that's
I wouldn't know what it's like to be a woman or to be treated that way in the workplace, because I'm a male. So I just don't know. I can empathize, but I really, at the heart of it, I don't know.
Oh, Don, it's horrible. I'm a piece of meat here every morning. I'm just objectified and minimized.
Really? That's because you're hot.
Oh, yeah, well, Don, that is true.
Oh, thank you. Please objectify me more.
I know I'm going to end up in HR, but
all right, Don Lemon from CNN. The special is Race and Rage: The Beating of Rodney King. Debuts Friday today, 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. Right?
Hey, Steph, can I say one more thing?
Yes.
I'm going to be live tweeting during the 8 and 11 p.m. hours, so you'll be able to see me on webcam. You can ask me a question or comment there, and live on Twitter. And the hashtag is Race and Rage. Pound Race and Rage, or hashtag. Race and Rage, and you'll be able to do all of that.
I will be there not only because you're a great reporter, but also I objectify you back by saying you are far too pretty for a man. And, you are smoking hot.
I hope I have a job after this interview.
Oh, no. All right, Don. We'll be watching tonight. Thank you, sir.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, guys, for having
me on. All right. Thanks, Don. Oh, wow. He's nice.
Yeah.
We were leering at each other. That was weird. He is. He's startlingly handsome. It's not,
he
you
is.
Know.
Yes.
All right. 46 minutes after that. Just, I'm saying, sounds like a great special. Just saying, it is a visual medium. All right. 46 minutes.
Yes, but a serious topic.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Hosted by a smoking hot.
Oh, God.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, ooh. It's Friday. I'm in a mood.
Yeah.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Reverend Jim Wallace coming up right after the top of the hour. Fridays with John Fugelsang continues apace. John holding down the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated.
Holding it down.
Yes.
It's struggling, but I got it pinned.
Wrestling it to the ground. Kevin in Chicago. Hi, Kev.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
Yeah, I was just reading in the paper the other day that the Republicans are planning to cut the IRS budget by like $600 million. And it was also saying that for every dollar that the IRS spends, you know, they bring back $10 in revenue, whether it's money or property or whatever. And, I don't hear anybody talking about this. I was wondering if you were aware of that.
Look, it's hard to even know where to start, John, with these cuts. They're just, they're literally with a meat axe, blindly.
Mm-hmm.
We will, we'll talk to Reverend Wallace more about it after the top of the hour. But
and they
just
mean none of them.
What's that?
We don't know which of them they actually mean and which are just for show. That's
how do you, particularly with today's big news, that the unemployment rate is dropping, we're getting more jobs than expected, and now we're going to do these cuts that are quantitatively, some economists saying, could lose up to 1 million jobs.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, it's, okay. Andrea in Palm Beach, Florida. Hello, Andrea.
Good morning, Mama.
Can you see Rush Limbaugh's gaudy estate from where you are?
Oh, good Lord, no. I live in West Palm Beach. That's where normal people live.
Oh, okay.
He lives on Palm Beach Island.
Oh.
Yes, where he drinks adult beverages and smokes cigars with Clarence Thomas.
Well, I wanted to tell you I have both some good news and a schadenfreudtastic moment all wrapped into one.
Okay.
The good news is that the Democrats, the 14 Democrats hiding out in Illinois, there was a ruling just a couple of days ago, apparently, by the state ethics board in Wisconsin that says that they are allowed to actually use campaign funds for their subsistence while they're on the lam, as it were, for hotel and food and things like that, which is good because they've been holding on to their paychecks. The other cool part is that the reason they are able to do so is because, and I don't know, I can't recall the exact wording, I'd have to look it up,
right.
But apparently Scott Walker had accused them of using this as a campaign tactic. And because he accused them of using it and used the word campaigning, they can use campaign funds.
Ah, I see.
So basically the other cool part is that people then can donate money to help them out so that they may be able to hang out for 50 days until some of those people are recalled.
All right. Well, good. All right. Speaking of football, my friends, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Here we
please,
go.
Yes.
Yay!
Yay!
Okay. Why? You know,
so
the one, you know the
week.
One rule in right-wing world, John, you must never say the word union without the word thug after it. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
It's just a bunch of rabble-rousers, so forth, plus union thugs joined together in creating a pigsty. The Tea Party people, you don't find anything. Not even a discarded tissue. Democrats want you to think that the media wants you to think it's just a bunch of average, hard-working, out-of-work, valiant teachers. And firefighters and so forth, and it's a bunch of slobs. Maggot-infested, dope-smoking, damn it, hell, the long-haired, all in a whole, yes, the whole nine yards.
Wow, maggot-infested
even. Harden.
Oh, my God. You know what? I swear to God, this white-haired guy, what's his name? Grothman, whatever, the Republican. You know, good, keep putting those faces on TV, because what a smug, condescending jerk. You know, he's on the MSNBC on Lawrence O'Donnell. She's just calling him slobs. First of all, that's completely the opposite of the truth. Even the police have said they are so polite and so tidy. It's cleaner than when they got there.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Ugh, maggot-infested slobs? What? I don't think Rush Limbaugh should say the word pigsty, by the way.
No. No.
Is Limbaugh in a union, Steph? Because I know Hannity and I know...
Yes, probably. We're
Rendeffo.
All in AFTRA, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know that Limbaugh has to be. Because he's
you don't have to be.
Because he's an independent kind of guy. I know Hannity, he works for Broadcast Network, Fox News, and so he probably has to be a member of the union that covers Fox News.
Yes, yes.
But I don't know about Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, you don't have to be.
No.
I am because I support unions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Glenn Beck on the TV.
The unions are deep. Are a real trouble for us, America. It is unions that you must understand have been infiltrated themselves. I am convinced that there are enemies in this country, and I have volumes of evidence of it.
Oh.
It's beyond unions. It is Islamic terrorists.
What?
And they are being aided and abetted. They are. And we have turned a blind eye in this nation for political correctness, or political connections, or political power,
boy.
Or political corruption, but a bomb goes off in this country, and it will be the political connections that did it.
It's bigger than hip-hop.
Wow.
You know, I've spoken to an awful lot of unions, as you know, Chris, and I don't recall an Islamic terrorist among them. A lot of, you know, hard-working, you know...
Meat cutters.
Yeah, meat cutters, you know.
Podiatrists.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, they have the Islamic terrorist cloaking device, Steph.
I see. I
see.
Yeah,
didn't have a cloaking device?
They just don't appear that way to me.
The cloak of invisibility.
They appear like a hardworking nurse, but okay. All right, here we go with the Sean Hannity and the angry mob.
An angry Wisconsin mob is out there and literally corners a GOP state senator, and that nasty confrontation. It's all caught on tape. We've got it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you see that? It was people yelling shame, shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the one arrest, the first arrest they had was for a woman who spat on a 10-year-old protester, holding a sign that said "Union busting is disgusting," and a conservative spat on the 10-year-old.
Oh, nice.
That was the first citation issued.
Nice.
But they'll say there've already been arrests, and they mean that.
Yeah.
Here we go. They got the talking point. Brian Kilmeade.
Unbelievable. The tension's beginning to mount, would you say, in the capital of Madison, Wisconsin. As one Republican lawmaker in particular, his name is State Senator Glenn Grothman, just tried to find his way into a building.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's an angry mob on the outside, and I guess they're getting restless, and dare I say, violent.
violent?
Dare you say? Well, you can say it. It's not true, yeah, like everything else on Fox, but okay. Wow. So he goes on TV and calls normal, hardworking people a bunch of slobs.
Yeah.
Insults them, chuckling like an ass hat. Excuse me.
You were going to say something
else. I really was.
Wow.
And so then they yell shame at him, yeah, as their First Amendment right allows, yep, them to, and that's a violent, angry mob?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Sounded like there were a couple of vuvuzelas in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if only they'd spit on some black congressmen like good Americans.
58 minutes after the hour, right back with Reverend Jim Wallace next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. The ecclesiastical mook, John Fugelsang.
My tiger blood smoothie.
In the New York Bureau. And just in time for the opening benediction by the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, the Reverend Jim Wallace. Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Better for talking to you.
Aww, me too. Well, now listen, you know, as usual, you are right on the money. You have this ad I'm looking at right in front of me about the budget. What would Jesus cut? A budget is a moral document, as you've said over and over again.
It's a great piece.
Well, you know, we're really talking about cutting 10.4 million mosquito bed nets that keep kids from getting malaria. Cutting vaccinations for the poorest kids, child care, child health, early childhood development, these are cost-effective programs. They're not even very expensive. Right. They've had bipartisan support in the past, and you're not going to balance a budget or end a deficit with these programs. I want one of the Republicans to say that every line item of Pentagon spending is more important to our security than school lunches and nutrition programs for kids. I can't get them to say that out loud.
Yep.
So, you know, I got to ask, you know, when Jesus says in the 25th chapter of Matthew, which is my conversion passage, that we'll be judged by how we treat the least of these, we've got to ask. And so we have a bracelet. I'm giving one to Senator Reed this morning. We're passing them out on the Hill next week. Every member of Congress will get one, a little orange bracelet. What would Jesus cut?
Yep. Oh, that's great. You know, I was reading Reverend David Beckman, sorry, and one of the other reverends that have signed this, and you know, that are in this ad, said, reducing the federal deficit is critical for our nation's long-term health, but it should not be done at the expense of the most vulnerable. When Jesus talked about how God will judge nations, he said that God will focus on what we did or did not do for the neediest among us. And, mm-hmm, you know, you make the other critical point, which is economic, is that it is not anything that really creates real savings, and it's just mean. I mean, it's, like you say, I mean, if you look at these polls, even the majority of the American people think the rich should pay their fair share. That would be a much fairer way to help the deficit.
Well, as you know well, they're only looking at 12% of the budget. And in that, they're cutting 11% across the board and 25% of low-income people's programs. And they're leaving. You know, David Beckman will be at this meeting with me today with Senator Reed, and Bread for the World, his organization, has figured out that all the things we want to protect, the international aid that's saving lives, the domestic stuff that's really helping families survive, all of that would be saved by bringing 5,000 troops home from Afghanistan.
Right.
That's all it would take.
Well, yeah, I mean, that, you know, exactly. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you're talking about the morals of this, Reverend, but I do think it's interesting, this brand new Wall Street Journal, NBC News polls, even politically, you know, America, the headline is Americans overwhelmingly support millionaire surtax to tackle the deficit, reject calls to cut social programs. I mean, I think that's what's frustrating is on so many issues, it seems like the Republican Party is really going against the will of the majority of the American people.
Well, you know, last night John Stewart had this segment on teachers. Now, my three sisters are teachers. Two of their husbands are teachers. My nephews are signing up for Teach for America. And yet, Fox says teachers are greedy, and they're the ones who are causing the deficit here. Now, what John did last night, he put those statements up there. Do you know, Stephanie, teachers are making up to $50,000 a year, and with their packages, some of them, $75,000. And the same Fox hosts, Stewart played back, when the tax cut thing came out, they said $250,000 a year is not rich in America. And these people should be able to keep their money and feed their families. It's amazing. It's amazing how teachers are now, you know, we got this deficit not by spending too much money on poor people. That's not how it happened, you know.
Right.
And so now we're going to pick on poor people and teachers and watch out for those firefighters and cops, too, you know. We're going to pick on them and leave all the corporate subsidies intact, what I call welfare checks to military contractors intact. David Cameron, who's the British Prime Minister, is protecting his development spending for those vaccinations and bed nets. He's protecting all that by postponing one Trident submarine.
Yeah.
Now, he's a conservative.
Yeah.
He's doing austerity.
But,
and he says you can't cut stuff that saves people's lives.
But, you know, I think, you know, it was Reverend Beckman that also said, you know, the GOP seems to have forgotten the basic tenets of the religion they regularly tout. I mean, I think that's what we keep talking about that gets so frustrating is they you know, they keep claiming to be the party of moral values and family values. And then, you know, all everything that they seem to enact is against families.
Well, I want to tell you, and we want this country to know that that the faith community, that ad that you talked about on my Monday is just a shot across the bow. When people go to our website, sojo.net, they can get those bracelets. They're going to see a steady flow of I won't say opinion, but it'll be prophetic witness from the faith community. And I mean across the theological and political boundaries here. We're going to say that you cannot do this on the backs of our most vulnerable people. That's our job. The financial industry has five lobbyists for every member of Congress.
Yep.
Pharmaceuticals, three. Well, who's going to defend poor people, vulnerable people in this debate process? And we're going to say the faith community, it's our job to do that. And with Mr. Reed, we're going to do it today. I'm going to ask for a meeting with Mr. Boehner, and they're going to hear from the faith community. You cannot do this.
Yep. Reverend, thank you, as always, for speaking out on what is just such a, you know, the real important moral issues, I think, in our country. I'm getting me an orange bracelet.
All right.
The Reverend Jim.
All your listeners can get them at sojo.net.
Okay.
Wear your orange bracelet.
Yep, and we put a link to it up at the stephaniemiller.com and up on your Facebook page, Stephanie.
All right, terrific. Reverend Jim Wallace, the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Stephanie, stay strong.
Thank you, sir. There he goes.
Right.
I love him.
That's a good man.
He's warm and chuckly.
Yep.
He's got a great sight, too.
Getting back to an earlier point,
yes.
Alternet says that a source within AFTRA has confirmed that O'Reilly, Limbaugh, and Hannity were indeed union members.
Really now?
Yes.
Those thugs?
Although
those
initially
thugs?
They can't say that in public, but yeah.
Right.
Well, O'Reilly's actually mentioned it on air. That,
all right. I'm just saying, that's the one of the reverends on our side, what they're doing. Now, not since the story of the Reverend, what's his name? Grant Storms?
Yeah, something like that.
I bet he does.
Is that who you are? What
John,
you do?
It's his real name. It's not his porn name.
Really?
Grant, did you hear this story?
How's he not a weatherman?
He's one of the anti-gay preachers that he tries to get rid of the Decadence Festival.
Southern Decadence in New Orleans.
Yes, New Orleans. He goes there with a bullhorn.
The gay-hating Samaritan.
Yes, he was caught masturbating while looking at kids in a school.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's...
But they were girls.
So it's okay.
Oh, well,
right?
Hey.
Were there just girls
well,
in this?
No,
no, probably not.
Okay.
Could you take your organ out today for today's...
Really? Oh, really? There's another one?
What?
This time in Ohio...
That never happens.
Ohio priest. Accused of drunken driving and propositioning officers.
Oh, no.
A Catholic priest from Akron will face a judge... today on a drunk driving charge, but it's his actions in the holding cell that are raising eyebrows.
Oh.
He offered to have sex with the police officers and made various other sexual comments while in the jail.
Boy.
While the officer was filling out a form, he looked at him and said, "Is there anything on the form about your eyebrows? Because they're gorgeous."
No.
At one point, he said, "What do I have to do to get out of here? Give you a job?" Then he said that Oprah Winfrey would come after us for what we did to him, and he also said he was trying out for American Idol.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Father,
you sure that wasn't Charlie Sheen wearing it?
Winning!
I can't wait to see what parish he gets transferred to.
Yeah.
Right. I think Charlie Sheen should use his real name and go into telenovelas since his... English-speaking career is over.
Well, his middle name's Irwin. That would get in the way. Carlos Irwin Estevez.
Estoy ganando. Duh.
All right. Danny emails Stefan Crew. Oh, here's a fine American from Washington, actually. As a state employee in Washington, I can tell you about our wages and deductions. What everyone generally fails to understand is that retirement money from our state pension comes from our wages. Yes, thank you. Uh-huh. Many times it's their money.
Yeah.
It's not some manna sent down to us from heaven and taxpayers. Of my gross salary, 3.9% is taken out of each paycheck by the state, my employer. Yes, they take that pre-federal and all the other taxes, but that's my only benefit on payday. In the meantime, the state is free to use this portion of my earnings to do as they please for the next 20 to 30 years until I retire. The money is invested, so no doubt Wall Street and the rest benefit as well. Yes.
It's almost as if those union thugs were taxpayers or something.
Of course, I know this information involves fact and truth, so I don't expect any righty cokeheads to comprehend, Danny. Thank you, Danny. Yes, that's very good.
Not a free ride by it.
Yeah. It's some entitlement for a bunch of slobs. That's what it is.
Entitlement reform.
Where does Limbaugh get off calling anyone a slob?
Good point.
I would venture to say anywhere he lives is a pigsty. But all right. I have to do a couple of just... Future husband's that, because why not?
Okay. They involve drinking?
This one I'm guessing it does. Georgia man arrested after allegedly concealing a rotisserie chicken in his pants. I don't know with the rotisserie,
or
but that's...
Or just happy to see you.
That is impressive if the rotisserie itself was in there, because that could sting.
Finally, a man who understands you.
Not since that guy that was caught with so much stuff up his butt in jail. That guy, he's a good packer. That was impressive what was up there.
Yes.
Because I am not a good packer. You know, every year I go to the Blue State Ball, I get there, and I'm like, what did I pack, a flipper and an earring?
Yeah.
I'm like, Janet, you got to take me shopping again.
Yeah, I've seen you throw stuff into your suitcase before we get on a plane.
I'm just saying, I admire good packers.
A thong and a muumuu. Okay.
What?
You're set.
Damn it.
Yeah, you're set for Minneapolis in January. What?
Did I do? What was I thinking?
Open-toed shoes in D.C. in February.
A Kingston man was arrested Tuesday afternoon. Police said he was concealing a rotisserie chicken wings, a mouth guard, and two toothbrushes down the front of his pants as he left through the garden center of Walmart without paying for them. That's a good packer.
A mouth guard?
And that's just down the front of his pants.
Who knows what was in the back?
That's a random shopper right there.
Shoot, scores, Jim Ward, nothing but net.
Maybe.
All right.
He told me Monty Hall was around the corner.
Yeah.
What else do you got in there?
The USS Forrestal.
Why, yes, I do have a rotisserie chicken in my pants, Monty. 18 minutes after the hour.
Oh,
right
boy.
Back. More Fridays with Fugle Thang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. We'll have a good
time. Leave your worries behind. Will you be mine? This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that try it free button. Type in promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Okay, 24. Oh, dear. Chris says they're starting to turn on Piers Morgan, John.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, dear. Scathing review in
Vanity Fair, it says, where did Piers Morgan come from, and is there any way to send him back?
Oh, dear.
Is that bad?
We were saying his producer said it was the best interview Charlie Sheen's ever given, and I said, how can you tell? Isn't it like Nell? How? Nothing he says really makes sense. Like, how can you tell which is the best interview? Remember, she was nominated for an Oscar for Check Out Piano,
yeah. Yeah. Well, also, that was like the fourth interview Charlie Sheen had done that day, so it's not like it was that big of a get.
He was really now by then.
He had the raving points down.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm defending Charlie Sheen. I think Charlie Sheen is a legitimate news story. A lot of people are saying, oh, what was real things going on? Charlie Sheen's story covers everything in human life, from drug abuse to liberty to feminism to violence against women to corporate responsibility. It is all of us. We are Charlie Sheen.
We're all on Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, you're right.
I tried some Charlie Sheen back in college. I huffed a bit at a party. But,
you're right. Corporate responsibility plays a huge part in this.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, God bless CBS, but come on now. The guy chokes his wife and pulls a knife on his wife and threatens a hooker in a plaza hotel room, but insults his EP.
Oh, and here was the one from yesterday that he threatened to cut off her head and send it to her mom in a box.
What?
I'm just like, after a while, you're like,
he's winning.
I can't.
Charlie Sheen's winning, and someday one of his kids will carjack me.
I'm winning with the Telemundo interview.
Soy borracho de una droga. Se llama Carlos Estevez.
That's the only place he hasn't been, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. I have one more future husband stack. Flatulent dentist faces losing his job after breaking wind belching.
Oh. Oh, jeez. Like, going to the dentist isn't bad enough. They have to deal with that.
It's just a man after my own heart.
That's
Matthew
where the gas
Walton
mask comes in, I guess.
Claimed he had inadvertent outbreaks of flatulence.
Wow.
And admitted a colleague once had to get an air freshener out to mask the smell. A general dental council.
Who hasn't had to do that?
Oh, come on. A general dental council committee found the dentist had belched and broken wind in front of patients and ruled his behavior
at
was
at the same time?
At the same time?
Did
you do it at the same time?
To do.
You should cut out starches.
One of his nurses said that he liked to belch while saying bitch. Which I think is, I like to say words when I belch. You know, I do that
too. You do.
Oh my God, we could be so happy together.
But the dual flatulence so belch is something that men try years to achieve.
Yeah. I mean, that takes some doing.
Boy.
All right.
I don't want to go to the next one.
Stephanie
level.
Likes to say march right. while belching.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's the B where they're good. You have to pick a good word.
March. So you have to do it every day march. This month.
Okay.
You need good diphthong vowel sound in the middle of the belch.
Stephanie doesn't wear diphthongs. She goes commando.
I am a friggin' lady. Hello, Stephanie and Madison.
Hey, guys. Another item in Walker's budget wrecking bill is recycling is now French and gay. He wants to cut that, which... Wow. There's more. That's more city union jobs lost. I'm just so upset by everything in here. There's so many things in here that are so mean.
Oh, I know, Steph. The one in Ohio. It's even worse. They slipped in like an anti-gay thing in there. What does that have to do with the budget?
I just have to say it's very exhausting. And I know there's a lot of stuff going on all over the country, but. God's sakes. I mean, it's just, this guy is the creepiest person, and
unfortunately, he's not the only one.
Yeah.
I know.
Aw, Steph, hang in there. It's been a long week. I know. You guys are right.
I know. Aww. And we've got more marches to go, so.
I know. We love you.
I just want to go there and give Stephanie
a
hug.
I do. We all want a spoon with you.
Stephanie, you're really a hero. Do you know that?
Necessarily, all of us are just trying our best.
That's right, but Stephanie,
anyway,
here's.
Thank you for talking.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you. Listen, this whole country's history is a struggle, not between left and right, but between aristocracy and democracy. And you're out there doing it, and you make me so proud to be an American.
Hang in there, Steph. Have a box of wine for Mama this weekend.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Aww.
Oh.
Listen, John gives actual good advice, and I just tell him to drink.
You have great listeners.
Yeah.
29 minutes after. Listen, I don't have a drinking problem. As you know, I have a drinking solution. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's a trick I developed to catch people talking about me behind my back. Did you know everyone thinks I'm insane?
34, true dat. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free, Jeannie in Georgia. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Hello.
Just so I'd let you know, you were speaking to other states. In Georgia, our legislature has been very busy. They just passed an Arizona-like immigration law. And in committee, they have a birther law they're trying to get passed that would require the president and vice president to prove their citizens before their name can be on our ballot.
Dear God.
And they have an anti-abortion law in committee that would make a woman who has a miscarriage actually a criminal if they can prove she had anything to do with the miscarriage. And the worst thing is, you know, we have no alcohol sales on Sundays.
No, now you're... Okay, now they've gone too far.
And so every year it comes up that they try to pass a law to let cities decide if they want to sell alcohol, and it gets stalled every year because of the Christian coalition here.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
which is ironic because...
Are the land of newt, so...
That's right.
Yep, exactly. All right, honey, thank you. Yikes.
And that's ironic because it's the Christians, because in the Bible, Christ is a leading cause of drinking at parties.
Yeah. And, Steph, you've never lived anywhere where there are blue laws.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
No.
When we first moved to Virginia, the malls were closed on Sunday.
Oh,
and
no.
Everywhere except for grocery stores.
Listen, I was
and
on
pharmacies
a,
were closed on Sundays.
I was on a cross-country flight once when they ran out of wine, and that was bad enough. I was like, what?
The pilots were hoarding it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's finish up the right-wing world. Bill O'Reilly on the Hug-a-Bump.
President Obama's resume... Born in Hawaii, moved to Indonesia as a young boy with his crazy mom. And I say that
not
in a bad way, but she was a little eccentric, let's be honest. And then he comes back to Hawaii to be raised by his grandparents. Never really sees his father. I don't think he even traveled to Kenya as a child. You actually made a valid point about President Obama and his outlook on the world because his father and grandfather are from Kenya.
It was a valid point since he never didn't really know his father and he only visited Kenya once in his 20s for a month. So he made a valid point. How?
That's typical O'Reilly semi-journalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his crazy mom.
It was still a good point about his worldview. No, it wasn't. It was a complete lie.
But
yeah.
he has just enough fact in there to make it sound plausible.
Yeah.
And then he throws in little
I wish his mother had been more sane, like showing fetuses in jars to him or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Terry, the official French cat kisser of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Only French cats?
Well,
John
Kugelsang is the official
she?
Straight guy that walks his cats in a stroller through the village.
Damn
in
right
New York.
I do. And I'll show you pictures.
In the dark, all cats
and the
are
ladies
gray,
love it.
She doesn't French kiss the cat because that can be a rough tongue.
Well, that's what she says.
All right.
Anyway, Staff, the story of the Churchill bust is even better than you think. What Huckadoodle didn't mention during that Kenyan interview was that the bust of Winston Churchill was not returned to Tony Blair and the Brits. It was moved to the East Wing. Wow, that's disrespect for the Brits. Let's put it where my wife and kids can see it. I listen to Steph Gass only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance or still a bargoon at $7.95 a month if you have commitment issues. Thank you. And did I mention I made a donation to Gentle Giants Rescue in the name of your dead eggs walking? Why, thank you, Terry, the official French cat kisser.
In memory of Steph's dead eggs.
Thank you. Dead eggs walking.
Oh.
I can't believe you're mocking me for having a cat stroller. I really can't. Only heterosexual men
I
mock
me for
that.
I thought you were kidding when you said that. John Kugelsang actually puts his cats and a cat in a stroller and walks through Greenwich Village.
Do they stay
right.
there? My cat
they
would
stay
just
there.
Leap out.
I put Zimmy in. Well, you put a harness on him.
Oh, okay.
You put a harness on him and have a leash, and then Zimmy and Bix ride in it. And I'm telling you, man, my cats went from a big house in L.A. to, you know, the tiny little shoebox that the Anne Frank family would have rejected in Greenwich Village. So they need to get out of the house. If you're in the city and your cats are indoor cats, you got to get them out, and they'll calm down. They need stimulation and exposure, and people do love it, except for straight guys who say, what the hell is that?
Dude,
the women, children, gay men, tourists love it.
Zimmy is a reference to Zimmerman, I presume.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Especially tourists. They'll be like, only in New York.
Oh, tourists love it. I think everyone does this.
And now, a story about a dog. Could I have some heartwarming music? I just decided to do this now because he did his cat story.
LA's a town where people push their dogs in strollers and have their kids on leashes.
It's about two things we love, Jim. Dogs and dolphins.
Hmm. Oh, yes.
Oh, I heard about this.
I love this story so much. Because, you know, it's a lot of bad stuff going on. Republicans are foisting on us. It's just a not tougher story about a dog that's heartwarming. When Audrey and her husband Sam walked out of their home on Marco Island near Naples to go fishing, we saw these two dolphins, and they were splashing and making this big commotion in the canal behind their vacation home. They went to investigate. They saw an 80-pound Doberman Pinscher was standing on a sandbar, half-submerged, even low even at low tide. The dog, which disappeared from a nearby home 12 hours before, was too weak to bark, and he couldn't get back onto land because of a several-foot-high canal wall. Turbo. It was Turbo. It was a good boy. How'd you get the sandbar? Goodbye. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I having a nervous breakdown?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, Turbo was shaking and unable to stand after being rescued, but was quickly reunited with his owner, who got the happy news while putting up lost dog posters. The couple said, people pulled up to us when we were driving and said, you're the couple that saved that dog. And I said, yeah, sure, but I think it was really the dolphins. I love the dolphins. Saved the Turbo.
What's that, Timmy? Turbo fell in a well?
Okay.
That is not...
It's the weirdest dolphin reference I could think.
I'm just trying to cheer everybody up on a long, hard week. Mike,
that's why you played the cancer theme from Terms of Endearment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Why do you play that for heartwarming stories?
Because it's a heartwarming song.
Oh, God. Wind, yes, and then the someone hair, dies at the end.
Yeah, until she says goodbye to her sons.
Oh. We're gonna need a lot of drinks to kill the bug you have up your ass.
Thank you, Jim. Oh, we have to finish up Right Wing World.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rush Limbaugh.
Well, let me ask you a question. How many people really think of Obama as black? I mean, apart from Chris Matthews, who's obsessed with that. One of Obama's parents was black. Undeniable. But he was raised by a white mother, by white grandparents. He went to a highly exclusive private school in Hawaii with rich white students and white teachers.
And madrasas.
He went to exclusive colleges that were practically lily white.
Where
Barry Obama is from a very white, albeit radical left, cultural background. He's not from the hood. He's not from the movement.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, oh, dear. Was God. That an attempt at a black sort of accent there
yes.
at the end? Oh.
And by the way, get me some iced tea, MF.
Okay. All right.
If Rush Limbaugh's not racist, I should be, I mean... I don't know. Lil Wayne should be allowed to join the Klan.
All right, that concludes our Right Wing World. Most it's so hard to pick, but most irritating thing Rush does. Barack Hussein Obama. My head's gonna explode.
He's doing too much Charlie Sheen.
That's his intended target, is to make your head explode. Mm-hmm. That's why he does it,
mm-hmm.
Stephanie.
Working. Okay, well, except when he says the other stuff about me that I don't really understand. That when he does that, and the...
Stephanie Miller, who is a babe on some days, she knows what I mean.
No, I don't. Fred in Chicago, you're Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Fred.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I was thinking maybe that preacher that supports those Walker cuts can also go preach to the Koch brothers, that part in the Bible where Jesus tells the rich man to give away everything he has to the poor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That might help.
What a commie.
Yeah. They would
the gullible Samaritan.
Would choke up a lung laughing. Yeah, sure. We'll get right on that. We'll give it all away. Let's go to Marion Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to give you a tidbit about what I heard last night after the rally that I went to. And by the way, we had another good rally last night, which is amazing. On a Thursday night, there were a couple thousand people.
Oh, great.
Marching. I mean, it's a weeknight, and it's cold, and it's, you know.
Yeah.
And we still had people peacefully marching up to the Capitol, trying to keep everybody's spirits up and letting them know we're not going away.
You guys seriously are just an inspiration. I mean, just the stick-to-itiveness and the way you've inspired everybody around the country. Good for you. Anyway, go ahead, Mayor.
After the rally, a couple of us sat down, and one of my friends, who's a president of the teachers union, told me that I guess Scott Walker went into a restaurant on the Capitol Square sometime this week, and there were so many people heckling him, the owner asked him to leave.
Ha! Great.
All right. Yes. Oh, here is Governor Wanker now. I forgot. We have he's here. He is.
There's a group in that caucus amongst those 14 state Senate Democrats who doesn't want to come home. There are some who apparently would be okay with staying 2 months, and in some cases maybe in as far as 2 years. That is unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. They're the stubborn ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Even though they've agreed to everything you want. Really incredible. State Senator Scott Fitzgerald, a Republican.
You can't have equal branches of government if one of those branches is hamstrung. And certainly the legislature right now finds itself in that position.
Yeah, I mean, they have the vast majority of public opinion against them. They have, I'm telling you, this recall, that's another outcome, by the way, of this. If they recall enough Republicans, guess what? Then the legislature is in the control of Democrats again.
Mm-hmm. Democracy, it's a beautiful thing.
Yep. Yeah. Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Here's the thing. How are you doing?
Good.
Here's the thing, Stephanie, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know, Rush Limbaugh is on national radio making fun of other people. If he's such great stature as a person and businessman, why did all the multi-billion-dollar NFL owners unanimously turn him down to own the Rams and bring mm-hmm. him in as a co-owner?
Because they think he's a racist. Yeah, exactly.
And
it was great.
One for a little bit of humor here. If you were to take the Pigpen from the Peanuts characters,
yes.
aging by 50 years, feed him banana cream pie, steroids, and beer. That's what you get with Rush Limbaugh. And a playful burger dance to go along with it.
All right.
You know, when the Rams turned down Rush Limbaugh, it was the first time any man was rejected by sheep.
With a lioness lane, and in the Fridays with the bugle saying, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
That's the sound of hip hop dying.
And that's why Stephanie likes it.
50 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Because it's not real hip-hop.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Gene in
it's
Iowa.
It's smaller than hip-hop.
Hip just topped off the roof.
Gene in Iowa wants to make John feel better. She also uses a cat stroller. Hello, Gene.
Really?
Hi. Yes. Hi.
Hello.
My kitty uses a cat stroller. It's one that has netting, and so you can zip it up so she can, fresh air comes. Is that kind of what yours is, then?
Yeah, I saw it on the Dog Whisperer, and they got one to show the dog the cat was part of the pack and take it on walks, and it's awesome. The cats are calm all night, and they love it.
I will say, Jean, it seems better than walking a cat on a leash, which I've seen people do, and they don't really seem like they enjoy that.
No, they don't enjoy that at all.
Cats stand and look at you.
Yeah, I have a friend who walks one of her cats on a leash, and he does quite enjoy it.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. No,
all right.
He's
well,
very good.
Gene, you've proven my point, and that is that all of you cat people are weird. But thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. It's like being called you're not a Christian, and I'm like, thank you.
All right.
I'm not a cat person. I'm a failed dog person. Okay, get it straight.
She's not a Christian!
All right.
Wow. Busting that out.
Woo, the God Warrior missed her.
Yeah.
I'm a God Warrior!
Yeah, that's dark-sided.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
She's dark-sided.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think in case you hadn't heard the breaking news, the good news for America, bad news for Republicans. Oh, heavens, the unemployment rate has dropped.
Yes.
U.S. employers had 192,000 jobs last month, the biggest jump since mid-2010. Latest sign that the nation's employment picture is set to brighten this year. The monthly payrolls gain was above market expectations. Look at that. The private sector accounted for all the job gains in February.
Yep.
Dropped from 9% to 8.9%, sinking to a nearly two-year low. By the way, John McCain's economist, Mark Zandi, he said these numbers are very good. They're an indication we are close to off and running.
He was the one
that just said, by the way, these Republican budget cuts will lose 700,000 jobs.
It's not the policy.
Have I mentioned that they're going the wrong way? I think I have. That's, you see, we're going the right way.
The wrong way!
And now, what?
They're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific. Thank you.
You're going in the wrong direction!
You're going!
going to kill somebody! You're going the wrong way!
You're obviously driving in Canada, eh? You're going the wrong direction. Literally.
Ah, oh, boy. The White House called for $6.5 billion in immediate spending cuts yesterday. Negotiations opened with Tea Party-backed Republicans in Congress, seeking reductions nearly 10 times as large in their drive to reduce the size of federal government, which will pretty much shatter the recovery.
Yep.
Yep.
House Republicans want to cut problems. $61 billion from the current fiscal year spending. Thursday's meeting came a day after Obama signed the two-week temporary spending bill and warned it would be irresponsible for lawmakers to create the threat of a government shutdown every few weeks. Dick Durbin on the...
They would rather see us shut down the government than fight to make sure that education, training, research and innovation and infrastructure are there to build a strong American economy for the future.
Republicans who control the House muscled through that awful bill. Cut $100 billion from Obama's budget request. It would also block implementation of his health care law, a host of environmental regulations. Mm-hmm. The Democratic-controlled Senate, of course, resistant. The White House has promised to veto it if it reaches Obama. The Republican House measure blended dramatic cuts from almost every domestic agency. It also would block taxpayer money from going to public broadcasting, Planned Parenthood, money mm-hmm. for food inspection, college aids, grant to local schools and police and fire departments, you know, just fat. Clean water projects, job training, housing subsidies, yeah.
And recycled cups.
Crap. Yeah.
And why, looky here, I've been doing this headline all morning, too. Americans overwhelmingly support millionaire surtax to tackle deficit, reject cuts to social programs.
Yep.
Why? It's almost like they think they're going the wrong way.
You're going the wrong direction!
The new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll suggests Republicans significantly overestimated the public's eagerness to tackle the federal deficit by cutting programs like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. It's reflected in the growing Main Street movement. The poll released yesterday found sizable majorities of Americans prefer steps like eliminating oil company subsidies,
yeah.
enacting a surcharge on the income of millionaires, and rolling back the Bush tax
Check.
Cuts.
Check.
Only 23% think it's acceptable to make cuts to Medicare. 81% favor instituting a millionaire's surtax. Additionally, only 22% of respondents favor cuts to Social Security, 77% finding it unacceptable. Majorities also oppose reduced funding for K-12 education, unemployment insurance, and Planned Parenthood. All exactly the opposite of what the Republican Party is doing. This is what you voted for.
That's the far-left Wall Street Journal, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi.
Democrats stand ready to meet the Republicans halfway on this. That would be fair.
By halfway, it means we'll come over to your side.
Yeah. And then a little bit further.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then can I get you a bib?
Representative Eric Cantor.
That's not cuts. That's the status quo. That has been the position that Harry Reid has taken all along. And what we say is we need to cut spending. We need to trim the fat.
I think we need to trim your Adam's apple.
That little ring, that was the Tea Party calling me down.
Yeah. It was David Koch.
Yeah. It's David Koch on my cell phone. I have to go now.
Status quo should mean back to Bush policies.
No. Senator Mitch McLiplis.
Putting a meeting on the schedule doesn't change the fact that neither the White House nor a single Democrat in Congress has proposed a plan that would allow the government to remain open and that would respond to the voters by reining in spending.
What?
All we got is talk.
Respond to the voters. That I just read the poll with what the voters want.
Right.
Cut spending is all they got. They have no ideas.
We're talking to voters who voted for us. Those are the only voters that count.
Those are the voters with lettuce.
Or at least, yeah.
Pat in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
You must be extremely upset today since you're such a huge union supporter because the president yesterday kicked the unions right in the teeth down here. He said it's okay for all the Mexican trucks to roll into our country now and degrade the entire trucking industry's wages, drive their unsafe trucks in our country with their bad tires, their bad brakes, their unqualified, bad insurance, and totally degraded industry. So what do you say to that, Steph, with your great union background?
Wow, Pat, you're in a bit of a state this morning, aren't you?
Well, I'm just saying, honey, this man is a bona fide Republican. This man is a war criminal.
Well. Oh, for the love of God. All right, Pat.
No, hang on. He's not a war criminal. He protects war criminals, but he's not a war criminal.
Oh,
be fair,
John Fugelsang. All right, this is what he's talking about. He was with President Calderon yesterday.
And the battle President Calderon is fighting inside of Mexico is not just his battle. It's also ours. We have to take responsibility just as he's taking responsibility.
I mean, obviously, I think that's what he's trying to get done, is to do things that are in the better interests of both countries. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, then he could decriminalize cannabis and watch this start to go away.
Benefits big business instead of the average trucker.
Mm-hmm. All right, 58.
We are killing a lot of civilians with Predator drones, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, I'm going back to the flatulent dentist story. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau.
Hello, back.
Fridays with Fugelsang. Well, listen, you may have had a hard week. You may live in a state controlled by Republicans that are foisting horrible policies on you, but at least you're not driving a Mazda with a spider in it. No, there's some breaking recall news.
Yeah, Mazda is recalling 65,000 Mazda six S's due to a certain type of spider that may weave a web in the evaporative canister vent line.
You remember the story once. That's, I was late to work. I was driving, and there was a lizard on the inside my car on the dashboard. I just left the car and just went running down the street.
Basically the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm such a chick when it comes to that. I was like, nobody had me to do that! I actually had. I got to get a guy. I'm like, there's a lizard on my dash.
This spider likes the smell of gas fumes, so it's building webs in the gas tank, but I don't know what it's catching there to eat.
Yeah.
Spiders. I don't like spiders and snakes. That ain't what it takes to love me. Okay. All right.
Maybe they recalled your model car because of lizard infestation.
Yeah.
All right. I have a pop quiz for you three, by the way. Hmm. When we've been covering all week the horrible policies foisted on us by Republicans around the country and in Washington, why would you use the one tiny little iota of progressive media infrastructure we have to bash the president endlessly? You three.
Endlessly?
Bashing the president endlessly?
We spent 30 seconds disagreeing with something that he did. And you think
exactly.
That's
it's just
bashing.
Just like you could think of everything negative. He didn't do this and then he did that.
It's not bashing the president endlessly. It's pointing out policies that aren't what we voted for.
Exactly. You're all Matt Damon on my ass.
He keeps moving further to the right.
Obama went to Netroots Nation and told the left
to the right.
It's dangerous to agree with everything
that's
that the government does.
I don't agree with
Bush.
Everything he does, but I
name
just...
One. Name one thing.
So, but we have to?
Yeah, we have to.
Name one thing you disagree with Obama with.
Let's talk about Libya.
No. You open this box, Pandora.
Please name one thing.
Is he handling Libya right for anybody here? No?
Yes. Well,
yes, he is.
So far, yeah.
The president on Libya.
Let me just...
He dodged that one.
Very unambiguous about this. Colonel Gaddafi needs to step down from power and leave. That is good for his country. It is good for his people. It's the right thing to do.
Again, name one thing you disagree with him on.
Excuse me, whose name is on this show? I will talk about what I want to talk about,
But you threw out the accusation for us.
Oh, Stephanie, he's doing the best he can.
He went to Netroots Nation and he said to the leftist progressives and bloggers, you got to keep on my case. He encouraged people to keep on his case about this.
Yes, but look at the midterm results. You know, I mean,
hang on, that's not because of criticism from the left. Now, criticism from the left helps Obama, and you know it, because the more the middle sees the left criticizing Obama, the more they feel he's on his side.
People did not turn out, and this is what we got in the midterms.
There's also voting machines.
And so, Jim, come on. People did not turn out in the numbers they turned out in the last election.
That's very true, and they never do.
Now we're getting some really horrible consequences brought to us by Republicans. So that
Are you going to blame the celebrities for not showing up at Obama's side, and Will.i.am for not writing any more catchy jingles for the midterms?
I will criticize a P. That's as far as I'll go.
Damon.
The president on
there may be situations in which Gaddafi is hunkered down in his compound, but the economy or food distribution systems in Tripoli, for example, start deteriorating. And we're going to have to figure out how do we potentially get food in them.
I just think it's very unfair for you to say that the three of us are constantly bashing President
Obama. House Sparks on the
Stephanie,
phone. I need backup.
Stephanie, I think
we
it's unfair.
Love Barack Obama, Stephanie.
Yes, it's unfair for you to say that we're constantly bashing President Obama when we spent 30 seconds saying we disagreed with one thing that
he did
yesterday.
I know, it's not just this 30 seconds. It's
so,
a lot. And
you know,
the
hyperbole just doesn't serve us well.
So if we
the hyperbole doesn't serve us well from your side. That's my point. It doesn't serve us well. We're dealing
in blind loyalty to politicians, Stephanie.
It's not blind loyalty. Look what's happening in Wisconsin is what I'm saying.
We have blind loyalty to the unions in Wisconsin, no doubt.
Yes, we do.
Right. I'm talking to someone in Wisconsin, so I don't have to talk to you. Robin in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robin.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I was at my state capitol yesterday. I wanted to see these wild, crazy shenanigans that supposedly were going on. And
the violent mobs of thugs?
Yes, yes, of thugs, of firemen and crazy people that are, I think Grossman, our senator, referred to as slobs.
Yeah.
So I stood for an hour in a line of about 10 people and then was finally let in. I was searched. I walked through a metal detector. I was wanded. I had to empty my pockets. They went through my purse. I was asked if I had any sharp objects like a penknife.
Wow.
I watched a 250-pound woman ahead of me have her cane taken away from her
while
they could search her. God. And there were so many cops. I mean, I just got back from Spain. It was worse than going through customs. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
So then I was told after they'd done all that to wait for my group, which was another person, this kid behind me. We walked through and I said, how'd you feel? And he said, I feel violated. And I said, well, you know, welcome to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I got in there and I thought, you know, it was just going to be filled with people. And there were maybe, 100, maybe, because they were not letting people in. They were letting in one at a time. And so I'm literally walking around going, well, it's pretty quiet in here, and I was taking video with my iPhone, and then all of a sudden, here come in about 75 to 100 firefighters with American flags and their local flags, all in their helmets with their, regalia, and just silently marching with the flags into the middle of the rotunda, and they walked around in a circle, totally somberly.
Yep.
They walked around twice. And then the chief, I sent you some images. The chief, was in his little kilt, and he stomped his foot, and he said, firefighters, exit. And they all raised the flag, and they all walked out. And I asked a couple of them in the hallway, I said, I'm curious. I said, do you think that Governor Walker still considers you heroes? And they looked at me and they said, we're not heroes. They said, we don't even like it when people call us that. He said, if anybody wants to call us a hero, it's our families. And he said, we're heroes when we can bring home a paycheck, when we can provide health care, when we can feed and clothe our children and educate them. And he said, after this, will he consider us heroes? I doubt it. And what we want is a safe working environment.
Well,
and
the
only way to get that is to bargain for it and to let them know,
Robin,
we're the authority.
Right.
Here.
It's exactly how, the Republicans use firefighters as props in campaign ads for years after 9/11, and then they didn't want to give them health insurance for getting sick, at Ground Zero. I mean, it's you're right. It's just blatant hypocrisy.
The chat room is wondering if there are going to be new MOOCs next week.
Yeah, there might be replacement MOOCs. Hello, Blake in Chapel Hill. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Blake.
Hi, good morning.
Yes.
I was wondering if you guys had heard about the ammunition that had been found at the Capitol at three different entrances there.
I did. It sounds like somebody just scattered a bunch of bullets, right? Once again, to try to make this look like it's a violent crowd.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hate to speculate, but, Fox News may have been involved in that. I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it just seems like yet another, one of those techniques to make, to try to, first of all, what does that mean? Why is someone just going to go and drop a bunch of bullets? Somebody was telling me yesterday, there's a lot of them, too.
Yeah.
It's not just two or three bullets. I mean, this was obviously deliberate.
Right. Well, liberals obviously have all the bullets. So that's
because they're so gun crazy.
Yeah.
They're violent, crazed gun freaks.
Keith in Milwaukee. Hey, Keith.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
You know, if that last caller were to walk into the state capitol with Glenn Grossman, she would not have a sharp object. So the thing I really love about MSNBC is having Glenn Grossman, because he is the dimmest of all the state senators. So good choice for MSNBC.
Oh, I know. He's just a smug jerk on top of it. I mean, the way he's just sort of laughing mockingly at these, you know, these are 100,000 citizens from Wisconsin that he represents that he's calling slobs.
Yeah, but that's the trouble, is the people he represents. Anyhow, just kind of a public service announcement for Stephanie and Madison and others out there who are wailing and gnashing their teeth and rending their garments. I just want to remind them all that we have a recall movement going on in the state. The website, I believe, is recalltherepublican8.com.
Yep.
And so if you're not doing anything this weekend, find a Republican senator near you who's being recalled. Where I live, we have the senator by the name of Alberta Darling, who we're going after.
Okay.
And Alberta is no darling of the middle class.
Yeah,
and,
that's for sure.
So for those of you in Madison who pick up your show, and those of you in the Milwaukee area who are huddled around your crystal sets trying to pick up your radio show, I certainly would advise you to spend some time going out and circling petitions. And if we
All
could
right.
do this real fast, we would make their heads spin.
Thank you, Keith. Appreciate it. All right, Kurt in L.A. real quick before we break. Hi, Kurt.
Hey. Yeah, very good. I want to just point out that the whole trade deal going on with the trucking in Mexico is to help shut down the port of Los Angeles to break the longshoremen unions there.
Mm.
So what they're trying to do is on, I believe it's about 2014, the port in Mexico is going to go online, which is going to be massive, which is backed with Bush money. Schwarzenegger helped with this. And also what they're doing is passing diesel emissions standards that will go online at 2014 to slow down the trucks coming out of the port of Los Angeles.
Wow.
So it's really a big thing because what they're trying to do is break all the unions at the port of Los Angeles and switch all that shipping from California to Mexico. And it's been a very well conceived plan, and
it was put in motion by Bush.
Right.
That's
yeah.
Right. But you know what? There's Obama jumping right on in there to help with all that. So I'm very sorry I voted for the man.
Yeah.
But
well,
no,
you're not sorry.
You'd
rather McCain Palin?
Absolutely. You know, maybe that would have started the revolution a little quicker.
Well, Kurt, I guess all I'm saying is I'm not going to sit here and take a pop quiz, but I have criticized certain ways that he's done things. And, I'm not saying every single thing I agree with. It's just that the governing is compromise, I mean, that's what Larry Korb was just telling us this week about Reagan, which is this group fails to understand that. And I'm just saying, I think we have to stand with the president, because otherwise we're stuck with the Scott Walkers of the world. We're stuck with the Tea Party.
Yeah,
and
people
they're not compromising on anything, you know? So, the fact that to me, it's huge that we got Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We got DOMA.
Absolutely.
We got health care. We got financial reform. I wish that it could be better. What I want
the president
is people
for that.
What I want is get people to get out in the next election so we can strengthen health care. We can strengthen financial reform.
Absolutely.
I mean, absolutely.
Totally agree
I don't think
you.
Everything's perfect the president's done, but look at that. The hell we're up against. And now, look what we're up against now. I mean, it's just... If you read through some of these bills in Wisconsin and Ohio, it is breathtaking.
So
all right.
We're not allowed to mention it if we're not as happy
as
we might.
Yes, of course you are.
Okay.
You're always under the threat of
it. You're
fired.
More credibility
than be accused of being Obama bashers.
Listen, I have no problem bringing scabs in here. 19 minutes.
We're not unions, so they wouldn't be scabs
That's
anyway.
Right. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back for more Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Upside down.
Stephanie Miller.
Turn me inside out and round and round.
Up a pill like your cat, didn't
you? Yeah, you did.
Listen, it's good news that I even remembered to take my ginkgo biloba.
Hey, you see, because
an Ellen DeGeneres joke.
Yes, 24
years ago.
Minutes after the.
Okay, maybe 15.
Oh, no.
Oh. You know, everybody's just really, really close to the line today.
Yeah, you're not having a good day, are you, Steph?
No, I'm not having a good life. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steph. Hey,
Hi.
Guys.
Hi.
Hey, fellow Long Islander John. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? What's up?
Nothing. One thing I keep noticing is the conservative talkers always paint the picture that it's about money. Because every question I get from my conservative friends is, why aren't they giving in? What about the money? The money, the money. And I keep telling them, it's not about the money. It's about the bargaining rights. And then when they don't, when they get off the money issue, then they start bringing up stuff that has nothing to do with anything. Like, who ran Obama's campaign? Where's Obama's senior thesis from this? Really?
Yeah.
You really have nothing else to grab at but that?
Yeah, I know.
Come on
already. All right.
Hilarious.
Bob in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
Hey, I'm a locomotive engineer for 33 years, and I know why these Republican governors are getting rid of the high-speed rail, because it would be a union job.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And one other thing, I have to give a plug to Teddy's Pride.
Oh, good. Yes.
Because I have rescued a dog from the pound, a black cocker spaniel with the greatest disposition.
Oh, he's a good boy.
And his name is Teddy.
Teddy's a good boy.
And I'm going to send you a picture of him, but I have been buying Teddy's Pride now for a month.
You know what? I just recommended it to a friend because she actually had her dog was in for teeth clean or something. And anyway, the vet made a mistake, and it literally got an infection, and it spread, and now it's going to cost thousands of dollars. I mean, seriously, I know it sounds funny, but it's just the stuff you just sprinkle on their food, right? It does the same thing.
Exactly.
You don't have to go through the...
My God, his teeth glow in the dark now.
Okay, that's weird. That's freaky. That's like the dog in the mask or something. That's all right. I don't know. All right. It's just a freaky dog, I'm saying, when the dog puts the mask on. Listen, you know what? Okay, look at... Tommy sends me Stephanie Miller Reddy's layoff plan. Wait.
Yes.
Look, the news has gotten into the blogosphere already. Talk show host Stephanie Miller plans to send layoff warnings to her MOOCs this Friday if they fail to show her the respect she thinks she is entitled to.
Respect she's entitled to?
You give me the respect that I'm entitled to!
Oh, good. This is a Politico already. Unless at least one of the moops who've been mean to her comes to her compound and cleans up the dog waste today, she will lay them off, Miller said Friday.
You know what? That's what we get for not being union.
Folks, you can't see this, but right now we are feeding her grapes and fanning her with palm fronds.
Bill in Washington State is on my side, so there. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to call you and let you know that your criticisms of your co-host are dead on.
Thank you.
You're exactly right in what you're saying. And the failure of talkers on the left to recognize the part they played in the abysmal showing Democrats had in the most recent past election.
Oh, that's not why.
It's scary to me.
That's not why.
There were talkers on the left, several of them, prominent talkers on the left, telling people for months prior to that election that they were so disappointed they were not going to vote, and they were encouraging their listeners not to vote.
Yeah, we encourage everyone to vote.
Yeah, it was not. You're absolutely right, Bill. It was turnout. I mean,
and
look, the president warned about this. He was in Wisconsin how many times warning about this? And you know, you've got to get out. You got to get out. And
that is exactly
elections do have consequences.
Y'all are not being fair to us. We encourage everyone to get out. We support the president.
He's not talking about you, John. He's talking about some.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about talkers on the left.
Yeah.
And I am talking about you to the extent that your constant criticism of this man. When you look at what President Obama has done, if you look at his record while he's been in office and you compare it to every other Democratic president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he has been more progressive in his approach.
Yep.
Yet you never hear anyone talking about having been sorry that they voted for Carter or Johnson or Clinton or any of the other Democratic presidents that have been in office. Why? I think that there is a very strong racial component to all of this criticism that this man is.
So the people who voted for him are the racists.
Yeah.
No, he's not saying that. He's saying I agree with you, Bill. I'm spooning with you and ignoring the rest of you. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've had three chances. Floyd, then Carol. I was once in an elevator with Tom Brokaw, and I blew all three. Opportunities.
And an elevator with Tom Brokaw.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Dennis in South Carolina. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Hi. I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative. I got a couple of things. But first, I want to ask, who does the John Boehner on your show?
That's Jim Ward.
Okay, that's pretty good. I ain't gonna lie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yay.
He does cry a lot, doesn't he?
He don't come off as the best manly man. I'll give you that.
Okay. All right.
But just a couple of quick things. I want to ask you, is it fair, as far as collective bargaining, is it fair for unions to spend millions of dollars to get a politician elected, then sit across the table from that politician a couple months after that election and work out what their pay is going to be? Is that fair, yes or no?
Yes, I do think that's fair. Is there a difference? Did you hear this, the prank? Well, they're calling it a prank call, but the Koch brother talking to Scott Walker? I mean, do you understand how many millions and millions corporations are, and they're basically, hiring people that are going to do their bidding? I don't think it's a fair analogy in terms of collective bargaining, because they're still having to negotiate.
I mean, first of all, what's the difference between George Soros and the Koch brothers? I don't see any difference there.
There's a big difference.
That's beside the point.
There's a great difference.
You asked the question, let us answer.
Go ahead, John.
Well, George Soros has devoted his career to helping the poor and overturning communist regimes.
Uh-huh.
The Koch brothers have devoted their money to funding
the
some
Koch
arts causes.
Yeah,
the Koch brothers have used their money to funding some arts causes, some decriminalization of cannabis, but generally to helping the upper 2% of the American wealth. That's the difference.
George Soros funds about every far-left organization out there.
No, he doesn't. No. I know that's what Glenn Beck tells you, but that's not
true. He fights poverty. He fights oppression and fascism.
Trust me, I wish I were getting the money from George Soros that Glenn Beck says I am, but all right. Speaking of money, celebrity stack. Beyonce, Nelly Furtado, what's her name? Mariah Carey, and Usher have all performed for Gaddafi.
Gaddafi's Angels.
Wow.
Gaddafi's Angels.
At one point in their careers for $1 million. $1 million.
$1 million.
Mm-hmm. Beyonce already announced that she has donated the money to relief efforts in Haiti. Nelly Furtado says she's also going to give the cash to charity. Usher has not said anything.
$1 million.
Mariah Carey says she's embarrassed about performing for Gaddafi's son at a party in St. Bart's in 2008.
Why would she do?
She didn't say if she's giving the money back. She said Mariah has and continues to donate time, money, and countless hours of personal service both here and abroad.
Yeah,
basically, she's keeping the money, bitches.
That's right.
According to Delisted. Do you really expect the walls in her twins' nursery to be covered with 14-karat gold instead of 24-karat gold? All right. Hey, celebrity neighbor troubles. Oh, by the way, can I have some touching music, please? You know I've been telling my story for years of living next to boy band.
Yes.
Yes.
And his dog that sounds like a woman screaming, Chris, which you can confirm.
I can confirm. It sounds exactly like that. Seriously.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been going on for many years now, the whole day and night. However, and then, now there's two other dogs that came and bark endlessly because the first dog trained them. And then it turns out they're from my rescue where I got my dogs.
Really?
And because he used me as a reference. Anyway, here's the good news. There's a happy ending.
Oh?
Yes, because this rescue is so great, Gentle Giants Rescue. My friend called them, and he and his girlfriend, boy band and his girlfriend, they're very, very nice. I haven't heard a peep out of them since.
Wow.
guess.
What did they do?
I don't know. Now I feel bad. Like, I have to go see if I need to bring them for play dates and whatever, because now I don't know if they're just locked in the house all the time. But I was like...
Or have they been disappeared?
No.
Okay.
No. But they. I mean, but she called, and they were very nice about it, and so now, you know. And I offered to have them over for play dates with Max and Fred so I can help, because...
But the moral of the story is good people rescue dogs, and horrible people buy from puppy mills.
Exactly.
And mommy makes a call, and the dogs stop barking. Okay.
Let that be a lesson to you rebellious moose. I make one phone call.
And we all hate Obama. That's what I've learned today, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we constantly beg.
Constantly.
All right. The good news is at least I don't have a bull like Charo does.
What?
Charo.
A bull. Okay.
A bull.
Okay.
Charo says she had to give up her pet bull after her neighbor in Beverly Hills complained about the smell of its feces.
Oh.
And so, all the ramming.
Could be worse.
Knocking down fences.
She, and I have inside information that she's kind of crazy.
Really? Charles? I would not have. I've done the train with Charo. Coochie train on television, yeah.
A friend of mine worked very closely with her, and she's kind of...
Really? Yes. I would not have sussed that out.
She's a good guitar player.
Speaking of which, in a completely unrelated story, Roseanne Barr seeks a restraining order against her neighbors. She seeked against a neighbor who filed a complaint about unauthorized grading work being done on her macadamia nut farm in Hawaii.
Yep.
I remember she told me that.
Yeah.
I got a nut farm. I thought she was kidding.
And now she has a reality show.
Nut farm refers to her ex-husbands.
She has a reality show based on her farming of nuts.
Really?
Yes. Seriously.
Wow. Welcome to the nut farm.
I don't even know where all the jokes start there. Okay. Did anyone hear the 911 call from Paula Abdul? She was held hostage in a speeding car. Apparently, but it turned out to be nothing. I guess. She was screaming into the ear of a 911 operator on Valentine's Day in Santa Barbara. TMZ got a hold of a clip, Paula having a passenger seat meltdown and claiming her boyfriend wouldn't pull over and let her get out of the car. Police officers, though, then visited her house an hour later, and she told them it was just a huge verbal fight and she wasn't interested in filing a police report.
Wow.
All right, try not to call 911 in the midst of an argument. It's too significant.
Yeah.
Never mind. We were just
what was in that giant Coke cup on the
You need
show?
To put that call in the, in the drafts folder.
Sorry. Yeah. We were having an argument about the Scat Cat video, and sorry, just got out of hand, officer. Sorry. Nothing more to see here.
Phone calls need a drafts folder. You know, those emails that you fire off in anger?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You
I agree.
Put it in the draft folder, cool down, and then
go
back to it and see if it's really necessary to send it.
Yes, maybe I should have rethought that.
Very true.
That's right. But it's too easy to dial. No!
Oh, damn it.
See? And then you're Jenny Thomas. You're like, oh, bitch, she picked up. Ooh. All right. Oh, here's the story that you'll all love. Matt Damon told CNN's Piers Morgan he's unhappy with the president. Asked point blank if he thought the president's doing a good job, he said no. I really think he misinterpreted his mandate. A friend of mine said to me the other day, I thought it was a great line. I no longer hope for audacity. Yes, what we need is more teabaggers. That's what I hope for. I hope for President Palin and a whole, like a bigger Republican majorities. Because
that's what he really said.
Yeah, that's what he wanted.
Yeah,
that's what he wanted people to hear. Yeah.
You're reading so much into this, Stephanie.
Wow. Can I get Hal Sparks on the phone? Seriously.
Chris Yankton had a good point. He said people who didn't show up to vote in 2010 were A, first-time voters in 2008, and occasional voters. By definition, those voters are less likely to show up at the polls, and surprise, in the 2010 non-presidential election, they didn't show up.
Yeah, and I seem to remember all the men on this show, even including us and Hal, working really hard to tell everyone to show up and vote last year.
Absolutely.
Okay, don't get oversensitive. I never said
people
not to vote.
Well, in between our constantly bashing Obama,
listeners accused us of that.
Over the last year, a growing number of Hollywood types have publicly trashed the president's record on everything from gay rights. Oh, yes, he's been horrible on that. We haven't gotten anything accomplished to his failure to close Gitmo. Yeah, because he didn't run up against any Republican obstructionism on that. Okay. In December, Barbara Streisand praised Obama as cool and very smart, but told CNN's Larry King she was unhappy. The president hadn't been more aggressive on certain issues. She singled out slow progress on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Okay, well, it's done now.
It's done.
Yes. And we love them for that.
No, and what she said at the time is, I would have liked them to use executive privilege. Well, then it wouldn't have been done by law as it is now, which is better, which is what
and
he wouldn't
have
said.
And he couldn't have done it by executive. He couldn't have done it through an executive order.
And I'm sure that Barbara Streisand has changed her views since then. So why are we rehashing old news like that?
But Spike Lee, they mentioned, who's talked about the Gulf spill, and he said, one time, go off. Remember he said that? If there's any time to go off, this is it, because this is a disaster. That's not his personality. If you wanted someone to go off, you should have voted for John McCain. It's like,
well, a lot of people are upset about Gitmo not being closed, but they're more upset that Obama hasn't been seen as fighting harder for it and making a convincing case to the American people. The guy did run promising. The American people voted for the guy who said he was going to end the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy close Gitmo.
Frustration, we talked about this, and whether it's health care or whatever, it's not necessarily just it's with some Democrats, because it's because of some Democrats we can't get Gitmo closed. It's not just
absolutely.
You're going to expect the solid wall of obstruction from Republicans, but when you have, I mean, that's what, you know, Hal always says, is we never had a real majority. You consider Joe Lieberman an actual Democrat? I mean, it's anyway, but like this last one I was going to mention, they mentioned Robert Redford slammed Obama for not doing more on clean energy. He says President Obama has certainly done more than any other president to advance clean energy.
Absolutely.
But then he goes on to say,
But that's critical thinking. We still support and we just don't agree blindly with everything.
I'm not saying to agree blindly, but to me, we have seen the awful consequences of how Republicans govern in record time. When you look at Wisconsin, John, when have you seen that? If the election were held today, and this is, how long has he been in, Chris? I mean, he would lose. Scott Walker, I mean, literally they're recalling 8 Republican senators because this is what we've been screaming about was going to happen.
Absolutely. But, Steph, love of my life, we've also, as progressives, seen the horrible consequences of a party, our Republican friends, not being more critical on their own leaders.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the more the left criticizes Obama, the more Obama can brag to the middle that he's not at the left and helps him.
Someone on your side, just to really
I'm on your side.
Start drinking early.
Stephanie, we're all on your side.
Daniel in San Francisco.
She's still Team Jen.
Yeah, she's still...
Daniel in San Francisco.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I'm gonna have to. More side with your friends there. Just in the regard that what we're doing here is a false dilemma, a fallacy, of trying to say that we can either have the Republicans or we have people who just always support Obama. But none of those celebrities were being critical there of the fact that he has continued the illegal wars and extended the Patriot Act.
Right. I've said this over and over, but I agree. I would like us to get Afghanistan. There you go. There's one thing I disagree with him on. But the point is, he ran on this. He ran on saying, I'm going to finish the job in Afghanistan. Iraq was the wrong war. And he has started the drawdown in both places.
But
I understand. Dan, hang on. I understand
it may be
too gradual for you. But he ran as a centrist. He ran as a compromiser. And so that's all I'm saying is unfair. And what I'm saying is, if you want him to be able to do more progressive things like you and I both want him to do, we should have given him more Democrats. And we should in 2012. We need to get out and vote. I mean, that's the problem. Don't you think if we'd had more real Democrats, we would have stronger health care? We might have
Absolutely.
A public option? I'm getting unpleasant to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give myself a timeout.
A little bit
I shrill. Love you
I'm becoming like Ingram now. I knew the Laura Ingram orgasm would cheer us all up. All right, now back to the fart jokes. 46 minutes after the hour, we continue and close with our Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's the distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yee-hoo. 51 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the Stephanie Gaga show we're listening to.
Are you singing Madonna, John?
It's the same song, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Express Yourself, yeah.
Alan in Minneapolis. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Say, I just wanted to clarify, unions do not negotiate with those that are elected. They negotiate with department heads, city administrators, city managers. There is no face-to-face that I'm aware of that unions right. negotiate with elected officials.
Right, right. Well, you know,
I get tired of hearing the same thing. They uninformed public.
Yep, exactly. Well, that's Alan. We talked earlier about how it's so irritating. People misunderstand the basic issue. Union people, but they pay taxes. You know, it isn't some handout from taxpayers. They pay in a lot of times to these things, whether it's pensions or their benefits, whatever. All right. Wow, that's not too heavy-handed. Did you see that headline? Wisconsin Senate orders Democrats arrest.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Kyle, y'all.
Yeah.
However, they can't be arrested because they're across state lines.
Oh, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that already.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody knows.
What a bunch of awful headlines about the Republicans this week. Governor Daniels says government should slash spending, quote, even if they end up seriously costing a lot of jobs. It's just another...
Great.
Yeah, just... So
be
it.
All the jobs.
So be it.
Jobs.
Yeah, but Tea Party Nation President Judson Phillips has turned on Boehner.
Good.
Oh, I know. Isn't that... We'll get to that. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Scott Walker's budget bans birth control coverage and eliminates access to health care services for women. Ohio's radical anti-union bill also has hidden provisions to deny equal rights to same-sex couples. Asked if Bank of America paying nothing in corporate taxes is fair, Pawlenty responds, taxes are too high.
Too damn high.
Zero's too high.
Rent is too damn high.
Representative Trent Franks calls for impeaching Obama if he doesn't reverse course on Defense of Marriage Act.
yeah.
Boy,
nice try.
Boy.
Obama's to the right of Dick Cheney on marriage equality.
boy. Yes, here's the story. Something else that will make John Boehner cry, Jim. A national Tea Party group is in a revolt against the Boehner and wants to see him defeated in the 2012 primary, arguing he looks like a fool in the debate over spending cuts and makes less sense than actor Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yes. Win, Judson. Win, win, win.
Yes, Tea Party Nation founder Judson Phillips wrote, "You look like a fool," on the group's website. Charlie Sheen is now making more sense than John Boehner. Boehner did not get the message from the Tea Party movement demanding big cuts to federal spending, he said, and the honeymoon is over. The movement should respond, he said, by finding a candidate to run against John Boehner in 2012.
Yes.
And should set as a goal to defeat in a primary the sitting Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Well, I thought we were friends, drinking buddies at the tavern.
See, Steph, now that's an example of somebody who's trying to hurt their own party for ideology.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to get teabagged, the Speaker of the House.
Judson Phillips, by the way, came out last month and said that he believes that only landowners should be allowed to vote, just so you know who's running Tea Party Nation.
Yeah.
Because he said that if you don't own land, you have less invested in the future of America. So all your troops coming home, sorry.
Yeah.
John Fugelsang, want to get your take on the other breaking news this week, being the ecclesiastical mook, is God hates, you know.
Yes.
The Westboro Baptist Church group. Obviously, the Supreme Court ruled that the First Amendment protects their right to be gay-bashing asshats at military funerals.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a pro-America ruling.
Yep.
It's a pro-free speech ruling.
Yep.
And it's a pro-Christianity ruling because it's not about silencing the douchebags. Let them go ahead and let their freak flags fly. And, you know, the more Westboro does what they do, the more sane Republicans are embarrassed to be associated with that point of view.
Yes.
Yep.
So I think they do a lot of good.
Judge Chief Justice wrote, speech is powerful. It can stir people to action, move them to tears of both joy and sorrow, and as it did here, inflict great pain. On the facts before us, we cannot react to that pain by punishing the speaker. As a nation, we have chosen a different course.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
the one judge to vote against it?
Alito.
Exactly right. You and a free vasectomy.
By the way, guess who also criticized the ruling? Sarah Palin.
Oh, God.
Who is wrong on everything ever about everything in the history of the world.
I mean, so what was her problem with it?
Sarah Palin disagreed with Clarence Thomas on something?
With free speech homophobia?
She tweeted.
As she is wont to do.
As most great legal scholars do with their opinion on this. She said common sense and decency absent as wacko church allowed hate messages spewed at soldiers' funerals, but we can't invoke God's name in the public square.
What?
Well, of course you can.
That's two different.
Yes, you can.
What?
Shriek.
You can invoke God's name all you want in the public square.
God's square is on the public money.
Also, too, in addition, Sputnik.
Yes, and then she connected it to Sputnik, as she tends to do. What? Okay. Newt Gingrich. Oh, my God.
Perfect.
sort of close to Jim, frankly, almost being a exploring a run for the presidency.
I'm exploring ditching Calista and finding some new hot,
taking
new
his
hot good thing.
First steps toward a presidential bid announced a new website, NewtExplore2012.com, frankly.
How are you going to say there's
why
no God?
Why couldn't he have
just
called it frankly.com? He said he will announce his, what his spokesman describes as an explorer. We're in an exploratory phase.
I'm in an exploratory phase of taking your money, and then whether I win or not is my decision, frankly. And
frankly,
I'm getting tired of Calista, frankly.
Is not supporting him. Republican Senator Tom Coburn said having served under him in the House, he's probably not the one I would choose to support in a presidential primary. We need somebody that's soft and wide-eyed, open, and is stable, and is learned, and is going to consistently bring us together rather than alienate us.
Well, Politico says that young Republicans in the House refer to Gingrich as Fat Elvis. And but, you know, he knows he has no chance of winning. Yeah. He's only running to fundraise and raise his profile.
And to jack up his speaking fees.
And that may be what Palin and Huckabee are doing, too. It's all a money game now. That's not even... Mm-hmm. Who is going to run, for God's sakes, on their
side? Can't wait. Who's going to be the token black Republican they include in all the debates? That's what I can't wait to see.
Keyes always shows up.
Or John West.
We got five
that
already.
Crazy guy in Florida.
Yeah.
You got Romney's going to run. Huckabee is definitely going to run, probably because he just hates Romney so much.
Yes.
Paul Lente is totally going to run. Santorum, praise God, is going to run. And I think Michelle Bachmann will do it. But
until people Google Santorum and then not.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for us. JohnFuglesang.com is the website. StephanieMiller.com is our website. We will see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See you later, John.
Bye-bye, kids.